All this week, we've been looking back at Brown versus Board of Education, the Supreme Court decision that led to the desegregation of public schools. 50 years ago, as the court decided what to do, Catherine Butler and Addie Laws were students in segregated schools in North Carolina. In later years, they became good friends. They also became public school teachers, who witnessed history in their classrooms in the decades that followed the court's decision. Jessica Jones of member station WUNC listened to their stories.
It's a chilly morning in Hillsborough, North Carolina, and it's time for one of Catherine Butler's favorite events of the year, the holiday fair at a local church.
Yes, ma'am, you can sign right here.
It'll be just fine. Thank you.
Sure, Ms. Butler.
All right.
Don't lose your ticket right there.
Okay, I'm going to win something.
Inside, tables are piled high with food and all kinds of Christmas crafts. But that's not the main reason Butler's here. She and Addie Laws became friends 10 years ago in a women's group. As Butler moves through the crowd, she sees her friend Addie Laws, and they begin to admire displays of holiday centerpieces and sparkly beaded ornaments.
I used to make things like this. I never could. I'm not artistic. We always had student teachers around Christmas time, and when they started doing full-time teaching, we would go to the workroom and just do these kinds of things.
It has been almost 6 decades since these two women set foot in segregated classrooms, first as students and then as teachers. Butler began teaching in 1961 when she was a newlywed. Laws started 2 years later. Though the Brown decision was handed down in 1954, in North Carolina, schools didn't integrate until the late 1960s and early 70s. Both women say those were tense, anxious times, but they made the rough adjustment to integration, and they watched as, over the years, schools became multiracial. Looking back, Laws says she had a great career, but she can't help feeling a sense of loss.
With all the things that integration brought, the diversity in the curriculum and all the ideas and things brought forth, our children still have not gained. They have lost ground when it comes to education.
But both women insist they'd never want to return to the days of Jim Crow. Schools were often dilapidated. For years, Butler School didn't even have a cafeteria. Most of their textbooks were hand-me-downs from white schools. But Law says what those schools did have was a sense of community.
It was like a family. You knew all the children. You knew their parents, and they all had gone to the same school. We didn't have the same resources that the white students had, but we had teachers who made sure you did the very best you could with what you had.
Black teachers earned about half of what white teachers made, but Laws and Butler took their jobs seriously.
When I first started teaching, we had to visit the churches in our communities. As teachers, we had to go out into that church so we would know those families and visit.
Yes,
taught.
Yes, you could. Before school every year, you visited the homes. Yes, you did.
And you know what else? This is me. We dressed the part.
And they still do. On this day, Addie Laws is wearing an elegant black suit. Butler's dressed in a light green outfit and a black leather hat. Both women still carry themselves with the dignity that comes from the high esteem teachers were held in back then. Butler says they may not have had the most up-to-date textbooks and materials, but despite everything, children got the support they needed one way or another.
They had caring parents who came to PTA meetings, who came when you said there is a problem, and you knew you could count on them, and you worked together for the success of the child. And you could talk to anybody in the community who knew that child, and they too would offer suggestions.
But after integration, Butler and Laws and tens of thousands of other black educators across the South found their world changing, and not always for the better. Many black principals were demoted in integrated schools. Laws says teachers in her school were too.
Because they needed to consolidate, they took the white music teacher from the other school and made her the music teacher for the integrated school. And our black music teacher, who had a number one glee club and outstanding students in voice and the bands and the little flute bands and whatever, and put her in a fifth grade classroom, I thought that was outrageous.
In Orange County, where Butler taught, more than half of the black elementary school teachers left. Only a handful of principals remained. Black students struggled to adjust too, but Butler stuck with her career, and she made sure her own children did well in school.
This is what you see here, a letter of commendation, a certificate of achievement, and this, of course, is her certificate of merit for French, advanced French. And
Butler lives in a ranch house on a quiet street in Chapel Hill. It's very much a grandmother's home, full of mementos, knickknacks, and family portraits. An entire wall of her study is covered with dozens of framed certificates that her daughters earned in school.
And that's for leadership, outstanding leadership.
And her oldest daughter, Kim, started kindergarten in the same integrated elementary school that Butler herself taught in. Butler says it helped to have her daughter near, especially in those tense early years of integration.
If things got hairy during the day, she could always, and we encouraged this, she could always excuse herself to the bathroom and come to me. And I could calm her down and give her a word of advice and tell her, well, now, well, why don't you do this?
Now, at age 63, she's still giving advice to a new generation.
Hello, Christopher.
Hi.
Go, take your bag upstairs.
I am.
Okay. Hello, Miss Towns.
Hi, Grandpa.
Did you have a good day today?
Yep.
It's 3:30 in the afternoon, and Butler's grandchildren, 8-year-old Benya and 7-year-old Christopher, have just raced through the door, their backpacks loaded with homework. Three generations of one family live in this house. Benya and Christopher live with Butler and her husband Ray, as do their parents. Ever the teacher, Butler reaches into her granddaughter's backpack, opens up a folder, and sits down at the kitchen table.
Oh, we got spelling words. I'll call you some words, and you spell some for me, okay?
Benya and Christopher attend a racially mixed elementary school that's 50% white and 20% black, like most in the area. Benya says her grandmother is one of her best teachers.
She probably is good at helping me with reading and writing and helping me with math, especially with math. I'm not that good at math.
Butler is proud that her own grandkids are doing well in school, but she believes the struggle that began 50 years ago with Brown versus Board of Education is a long way from being over. She says too many black students struggle in school. Too many black students still can't read.
I don't think there'll ever, I'm just going to be honest, I don't think there'll ever be a time when you can say it is done. I think what the Supreme Court meant was that you would have equal opportunity. And what happens with the opportunity is going to depend a lot on what the student is willing to do, because it doesn't just happen. Learning is an active thing.
Back in her day, Butler says everyone, from the local minister to the school janitor, did their best to help black children succeed. And she thinks somehow schools have to find a way to make that happen again. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Jones in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.